This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's another balmy Tuesday. Chris, don't turn that music off yet, Chris. I know that you think that this show this evening is going to be all about Junkanoo, but I want you to stand by me. You're listening to the melodious sounds of the Saxon superstars, and this evening we're going to talk a little bit about compliance. The weather outside made me feel very Christmassy. Gee whiz, it's Christmas. Ah, boy, the music is coming, and it's about to be a wonderful Christmas. In the studio this evening, I have with me Mrs. Crystal Turnquest. She is the public relations chair for BACO BACO, and we have Mr. Delaveau, the president of BACO. We are going to be talking about Compliance Month, and most reverently, Compliance Day. That's going to be the 13th and the 14th of this week at Bahamar. So, lady and gent, good evening.
Good evening.
It is a pleasure to have you here with me. Normally, my show is about something a little bit different, but I thought that perhaps we should switch the show up just for the day. You know, December is coming, and then we will go full drive into Junkanoo and the festive season. But for today, let us talk about compliance. Now, usually when I send my flyer out, I always get a medley of questions. And so most of the questions that I would have received for this evening border along what compliance really is. Some people see compliance as being very boring and dry, and you're stuck in a room with a lot of computers and textbooks, and you're just drilling numbers and you're just making policy. But Mr. Delaveau, tell me exactly what compliance is. Now, you are the president.
The president of the Bahamas Association. Compliance really, in its truest sense, in the Bahamas, most of us work in the financial services area, and our responsibility lies in assisting the institution that we work for to comply with local law, company policies, international regulations, all of that. And so some people look at it as being a bit boring, but it gets exciting at times.
Now, Mr. Delaveau, tell me something. These are some of the questions that have come in, but I have my own questions about compliance. Now, my mom was a banker all of her life. Mm-hmm. She was with Chase, Bank of Boston. She was with Chase sold to Barclays, and then, of course, it became CIBC. Now, when you think about compliance, when we think about being compliant, are we speaking about being compliant in terms of the Central Bank of the Bahamas specifically, or are we thinking compliant Central Bank of the Bahamas, banking regulations all over the world, like Euro? Like, tell me what that means in layman's terms.
In layman's terms, compliance, if you really want to get it into a nutshell, a lot of the regulations and laws that we have to assist our institutions in following have to do with anti-money laundering, financial crimes, sanctions, deciphering and sanctions, screenings, those sort of things. What, in a nutshell, it's all based upon helping our institutions fight and helping the jurisdiction fight financial crimes.
Okay. Mr. Delaval, tell me something. Do you think that compliance is more about rules or responsibility?
It's both.
It's both.
It's both.
It's a duopoly.
Yes.
Okay. So what is one, does one outweigh the other, or are they dually?
Okay. If you want to look at it, the responsibility, it's the responsibility of all financial institutions to assist the jurisdiction and themselves in avoiding financial crimes occurring under their mandate in their institutions. And so the compliance officer's role is to assist in that. And that's usually one of the principal gatekeepers in ensuring that the financial institution is not used for financial crimes. And financial crimes, money laundering, embezzlements, tax evasions, those sort of things. So again, it covers a whole lot of law, and we're not all lawyers.
Right.
But we also know we've been trained to actually be able to do the jobs that we do.
Okay, so I have another question for you. If you had one word that would describe compliance, what would that be?
People.
Why?
Because without people right now, our jobs wouldn't really exist.
So this new wave of AI, this artificial intelligence, that has no place in compliance?
No. It has every place in compliance.
Okay.
Every place. In fact, the whole landscape is changing right now.
Okay.
And for some of our practitioners, it has already changed.
Okay.
AI plays. I mean, if your institution isn't using AI right now, you're behind the eight ball.
We're behind.
Yeah.
Now, when you think of compliance, right, you mean the fact that it's fiduciary. Mm-hmm. So would somewhere like a food store, or would somewhere like a hardware store, would these people need to be compliant?
Not at this time. Our laws primarily identify financial institutions. Financial institutions are not just your typical banks. They now include lawyers' offices. They include real estate firms. They include insurance companies, and I'm not going to preempt any of the regulators, but there's more to come.
Because, okay.
The Bahamas fight against financial crime is a real one.
Okay.
And from a lot of people globally.
Okay.
And we have a huge neighbor to the north.
Yes.
And we have a whole lot of associates to the east.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So when it comes up to compliance, do you work in tandem with law enforcement? Do you work in tandem with the Securities Commission? Who are your industry partners?
Our industry partners are really the regulators, which include the Central Bank of the Bahamas, the Securities Commission of the Bahamas, the Gaming Board of Bahamas, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, and the Compliance Commission of the Bahamas, and the Financial Intelligence Unit.
Mr. Delaval, that's six different units.
Yes.
How is the communication?
The communication tends to be pretty fluid between them, and because we consider ourselves partners in this fight.
Yes, absolutely. All right. I'm going to have to take some questions from my texters now, Mr. Delaval. Mm-hmm. Oh, some of the questions, just how my readers and my listeners talk in regular life,
yes,
they send me the texts. So I have to abbreviate some things, okay? So bear with me if you will. What is the biggest compliance challenge you faced in your organization or field? I'm making you talk plenty, Mr. Delaval.
No. It's a very interesting question.
Okay.
If you'd asked me a year ago, I probably would have had a different answer.
Okay.
The challenges brought upon by AI are real.
Okay.
Everybody has heard about deepfakes, but a lot of people don't know how far deepfakes go. Everybody talks a little bit about cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
They do not know how far that is. And the fight in those areas are real situations. In fact, about a year or two ago, actually about a year and a half ago, I was doing some with deepfakes. There was this treasurer of a huge firm. He was in a meeting, of course, in today's world, you don't sit in a meeting. You have a virtual meeting.
Yes.
With his president, with his vice president, the secretary of the company, all the executives of the company. And the president asked him to execute urgently a financial transaction in the meeting.
Okay. But the president was sitting in the same meeting?
No, they were in the same meeting, but all meeting virtually.
Okay.
Voice, everything. They knew each other.
Right.
What happened is he was the only real person in the meeting.
How is that possible?
Deep fakes. The criminals are way ahead of us right now.
So they sent an email. Everybody, this is the virtual platform we meet in today.
Yes.
And he was the only person there.
He was the only person. But he was having conversations, keep in mind.
With people.
Everybody else. And the conversations flowed.
And it was very fluid.
It was very fluid. In fact, as an executive, he knew these people. So he wasn't guessing.
He wasn't guessing.
No.
Now, I have a question for you. I don't know if this is a compliance question, but this is my question, right? Okay. You are in Geneva, Switzerland, mm-hmm. and you use your credit card. Maybe not even your credit card. You use your debit card. Mm-hmm. And the charge is like 300 euros, right? Mm-hmm. But you get a message from the bank saying that your credit card has now taken someone has hit your card and all of the money is gone. Mm-hmm. Is that a compliance thing? Is that a hacking? Is that a thing?
It is. It is a compliance issue, here's a way to look at it.
Okay.
Compliance officers assist in the fight against financial crimes,
right?
Including money laundering. Money laundering is any crime or any participation, knowingly or unknowingly.
Okay.
For instance, I'm deviating a little bit.
Go right ahead.
Where we have, in this situation with the debit card, the person whose card was hit, again, it's a breach and it's a financial crime. A compliance officer would have to get involved for some institution, presumably the institution for which the card had hit.
Mm-hmm.
The card was hit. So that the compliance officer would get into that because reports have to be made to the financial intelligence unit in that particular jurisdiction.
So everybody has to be involved.
Everybody.
This is not a solo effect.
This
is a ripple effect and everybody must be involved. So compliance, like we used to say for the Ministry of Tourism, it's everybody's business.
It is everybody's business because it affects everybody.
Okay. All right. Crystal, Mrs. Turnquest, how are you today?
I'm good. You
are. I am wonderful. It is a pleasure to have you here. Now, Mrs. Turnquest, I want you to tell me what your role is with the organization and what you are going to bring to the table today.
Okay, so my role with BACO, the Bahamas Association of Compliance Officers, I am the PR chair.
Okay.
And so what my primary responsibility is to inform the public of what BACO is doing.
Okay.
The different events that we would have. November has been declared Compliance Month.
Right.
We've had the proclamation from the Prime Minister, the Honorable Brave Davis.
Right.
And so this month, BACO is hosting a number of activities from day one. Our biggest event would be Compliance Days, mm-hmm. which would be Thursday and Friday of this week.
Okay, so now, what happens on Thursday and Friday of this week? Like, I don't want you to walk me through too much of it because Chris is looking, we have to take a break. But tell me, is there registration? Is there a cost? Who is going to be in the room? What type of information you are going to edify us with? So tell me what's going to happen on the first day.
Okay, on the first day, we will have a number of round tables, a number of tabled productions.
Okay.
The Deputy Prime Minister will also be there.
Okay.
To accompany him, we will also have a lot of professionals from the different areas in the financial services sector. Attorneys, you have bankers, you have persons from real estate, radio broadcast. So it's a lot of professionalism that will engage the audience, also inform and touch on different areas that can be beneficial to the different careers in the financial services sector.
Now, if I were a spring chicken, I was a teenager, and I had to pick a particular profession. If you said to me, listen, this is going to be something that is going to be lucrative, like coding, or how would you get a younger person to say compliance is where you need to be? How would you draw me in? What would you say to me if I want to leave my job right now? I mean, I want to be a compliance officer. Is that what you call you? Professional? What would you tell me?
I would say to you, if you are a person that is one of integrity,
right,
law-abiding, and has a passion for making sure that your company is following laws and legislations, compliance would be the profession that you would want to become involved in.
Okay.
Yes. It's interesting that you asked that question, because right now, compliance, even everything is getting specialized, and so is compliance. What we had pretty much was just someone who knew laws, and is still required to do that, knew how to apply the law to whatever situation that you're dealing with, and you still have to do that. But now we've gone into transaction monitoring, which is very specific. You have compliance with respect to those beautiful areas, crypto. And digital assets, compliance in that too. And you have compliance aspects with respect to working with IT personnel and cybersecurity. And then, of course, you can get another area. You get compliance in the medical area, compliance in the manufacturing areas. You get compliance in the shipping areas. You get compliance in the architectural and building areas. Again, it just depends on what your interest is.
So it could deviate from anything. Because I think, for the most part, right, I heard my daughter and some of her friends talking about they need to buy crypto. And I'm like, how? Y'all 11, what y'all know about crypto? I don't even know what crypto is. And then they said, oh, somebody created this. And I said, where did y'all get this information from?
The younger folks, they know. Because crypto has been around for almost 20 years now. And the other thing is that it took it a while, but even the world famous skeptics like Buffett and those who initially weren't so enthused, they're all investing in it right now.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
No one buys into the vision until somebody else buys into it. It's like being a prophet in your own country, right?
Let me tell you something else too. When Bitcoin first came out, I think you could have bought a Bitcoin for maybe less than $5.
Now, how much is it?
It dropped recently, $115,000 per Bitcoin.
Per
Bitcoin.
That is absolutely amazing. My listeners, you're listening to Kenny's Corner. We're here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with Mr. Delavaux and Mrs. Turnquest. We're talking all things compliance.
Funny, all black up yesterday.
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want a line of up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody's business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, ma, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've never known compliance like this before. My mom, when I was younger, right, my mom had this long radio and she used to have it in the front. But that time we used to have the vinyl. It was black and it was round and you had the needle. And the needle had to go right on the music. There was no forward, rewind. You lift the needle up and you drop the needle on the vinyl. And that is how that song was played. A lot of times you hear me only play Golden Oldies because that's all we had in the house. You couldn't listen to anything else. And if it wasn't Golden Oldies, it was my dad beating the drum. And so that is what I have grown up on. And hopefully these young people will get into the idea of good music, that good love and good soul music. But today we are speaking, this evening, we are speaking about all things compliant. I have with me the president of BACO, Mr. Delavo, and of course the public relations chair, Mrs. Turnquest. And we have a medley of questions, and we're going to dive a little further quickly what Compliance Day 2025 is all about. Now, Mrs. Turnquest, you said that Chester Cooper, the Deputy Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, will be bringing remarks on Thursday. So can you give me some more information? How can people register? What is the cost? I'm assuming that people are participants of BACO, right?
Yes,
and so
members of BACO.
Members
of BACO.
Members.
And compliance officers that aren't members of BACO, some of those will also be in attendance as well.
So we're looking for a packed audience, right?
Right.
Of learned persons that are under the same auspices in terms of compliance. Mm-hmm. Now, Mrs. Turnquest, tell me about the cost. Tell me what time we need to be there. Tell me why this is important, because this is Compliance Month. The proclamation has been received. Talk to me about the event itself.
Okay, Kenny. So the event will be Thursday and Friday of this week. It's open to not only compliance professionals, but you would have persons that would perform other duties within the different financial sectors that have duties and responsibilities that can relate to compliance, okay, or persons that are interested on becoming a compliance professional. Okay. So on Thursday and Friday of this week, we will have our premier compliance event, which is called Compliance Day.
Okay.
And it will be from 8 to 5 okay. on Thursday.
Okay.
And on Friday, it ends at 12.
Okay.
And then we will have a cocktail reception from 2 to 5.
Okay.
We have begun selling tickets for, I would say, the past month.
Oh.
Registration was opened.
Okay.
We're always sold out.
Okay.
Persons, if they are interested on coming, if tickets are still available, to please secure them as soon as possible, because once we're sold out, we're
That's
sold
it.
Out.
That's it.
That's
yes.
it.
Last year, we had to turn away folks who actually, because they couldn't register, they still showed up. And we lock out the number of seats at Bahama in accordance with the persons that are registered.
Okay.
So you have another day or so to actually register. Even though the registration is closed, we have decided to reopen it for another 24 hours. So those who are interested can come down, because we really, last year we struggled to accommodate folks who just
really?
Walked in. Yeah, we struggled because the hall can only, the ballroom can only hold a certain number
exactly.
A person. So we're hoping to avoid that this year.
So tell me something now. I understand that there are going to be some round table discussions, or there's going to be a platform of discussions.
Yes.
What are some of the topics that we would be able to cover in terms of Compliance Day on that Thursday?
Well, if you take a step back, early all through this year, we have been impacted with new legislation.
Yes.
The government has really, through the Honorable Attorney General Ryan Pinder, he has really unveiled quite a few pieces of legislation that impact financial services.
Okay.
They don't impact them from his office, even though that's where a lot of speech comes from, but the regulators. And we have a regulators panel. And the regulators are basically, they have a panel themselves, and they're going to be speaking, okay? And if you really want to stay on top of what's going on in your particular area, what your regulators say, regulator has to say, and then you can ask questions in those forums. So this is a time where there is a question and answer type situation with your regulator. Another thing that we are really looking forward to, this is BACO's 25th year.
25 years.
And so we have a panel of past BACO presidents
okay.
who will be speaking. So I'm looking forward to that. And that it's bound to be interesting. And we have a lot of other speakers. And so definitely those two are the two type of panels that I'd like to highlight at this point in time. There are more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now tell me something. Is there a different cost for the members than it is for the general public?
Yes.
What is the cost? Because I'm getting messages asking me, what is the cost?
Definitely. Membership, like American Express, membership has its privileges.
It has its privileges. I like that.
Yes, it has its privileges. And so we want to take this opportunity to encourage persons to become a part of the association.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of benefits of being a part of BACO. One of them would be discounted rates.
Okay.
And so persons that are members, one day would be for $500, 2 days are for $750, and non-members, one day is $600, and 2 days are $800.
Okay, all right, let me get to some more of these questions, because The questions are here, and I want to make sure that my listeners get everything they need to. How important are ethics training compared to formal compliance policies?
I don't know how you're going to separate them.
There's no separation.
You have to be an ethical person. Because if you say you're a compliance professional,
yes,
you can come in with all the credentials in the world, but BACO isn't going to hire you or financial you. And the financial institutions, regulators are going to have to decide whether you are those two, three words, fit and proper.
Fit and proper.
Fit and proper. Those are terms the regulators use.
Okay.
Okay. And if you're not a fit and proper person, you're not going to be accepted.
I don't think I could work there then. They may not hire me. Fit and proper. I may be fit, but not proper.
You're proper.
I proper?
Proper.
Okay, thanks. I may need a little job.
You got that clean police record.
Clean. Squeaky clean. All right, so Mr. Delavaux, I want to ask you a question because you hit on AI right out of the gate, right off the rip, as the young people would say. What does the future of compliance look like in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, especially with AI, social media, and digital banking on the rise?
AI isn't the future. AI is here. AI is used to enhance the role of a compliance officer. One of the things that AI does, it allows a compliance officer to do their job much quicker, much more efficiently, much more thoroughly.
Right.
Because what happens with the human mind, the human person, repetitive can be fatiguing. AI doesn't get fatigued. The other thing that happens is that just like the computer age, we figured computers would make people's jobs easier. What it did is gave you more jobs.
Yes, I like that. More jobs.
More jobs. More things to do, because instead of focusing just on the small pie, now you have the whole kitchen to look at.
Yes, yes.
The other side of the coin, too, is this creature that all, particularly if you're involved in financial services, that creature they call the UBO, Ultimate Beneficial Owner.
Yes.
What AI is able to do, it's decipher through whole myriad of social media platforms, whole media news platforms, whole media, whole system of data.
Right.
Don't forget legislation.
Yeah, everything ties into legislation. Yeah. But AI is able to assist that area. And all it is, it helps to keep the institution on the right side.
Okay.
Definitely.
Now, so the Attorney General Office, AI, Securities Commission, the Insurance Board, the police force. Who else? What else am I missing?
The Insurance Commission.
The
Compliance Commission. Yeah, you said the Gaming Board.
I said the Gaming Board. Yeah. So you have...
And the Financial Intelligence Unit.
Yes. And the FBI.
FIU.
Mm-hmm. All of you work in tandem.
We have to.
That's a heavy commodity, you know.
It is.
I think people take for granted what compliance actually is. They think compliance and they think everybody's in one room in a black suit and a white shirt and you eat a sandwich and have a water and an apple for lunch and you're just looking at a computer all day. I think that is the general notion of compliance.
One of the things that you, and I actually advocate this, particularly with respect to persons working in institutions. If you're thinking about doing something, particularly, and I say to my colleagues in the C-suite, and the C-suite means the top echelon, if you're thinking of doing something, involve your compliance professionals in the discussion. Mm-hmm. You have to, because reality is they are there to assist you in doing and actually letting you know, okay, fine, the law, here's some of the things you need to look at. And of course, there's this other side of compliance that's called risk.
Mm-hmm. And that's a huge factor as well.
It is.
You know, Kenny, the stigma prevention?
Yes.
That's what the compliance officer really does, prevent.
Prevent, and prevention is better than cure, what people say.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. What is one compliance principle that you both live by personally every day? Because is there a shutoff point for your work? does your work not carry over to your regular life? Like, sometimes people see me in the grocery store, right? Or I haven't been to church since my mom left. Or they'll see me out and they think that how I am on the radio or how I am hosting an event, they think that that's me every single day. So does your compliant life fall into your regular everyday life?
It does.
It does?
It does.
Because as a compliance professional, like you said, you can't really separate being a person.
No.
And so integrity. Mm-hmm. Being Definitely. Viewed as a person with integrity.
Of the highest order, because when you think of compliance, you really do think stringent, you think above board. You know what I mean? I think that is what our focal point is in terms of compliance. So what about you, Mr. Delavaux? What one compliance principle do you live by every day?
Well, I have to hold on to my integrity. And so when I sit back, and particularly I work as a compliance consultant right now,
right,
and I have several clients that I do. That I actually have. And so from time to time, I get asked questions. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? How would this do? And so I've got to say, you know, sometimes the temptation, these are the guys that are signing a check.
So you have to be mindful.
You have to be mindful, but at the same time, you cannot point them down the wrong way.
No.
You cannot do that, because mm-hmm. if they're asking you along this way, in fact, sometimes it gets to be a little dicey as a compliance officer, because you have to tell those who were your colleagues in other areas, it's not the way to go.
Because you've seen it all.
Well, not that you've seen it. You know from what you're dealing with.
Okay.
That's a road that shouldn't be walked.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been in the business?
I've been in this business about 30 years.
30 years?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you stay? No. I mean, my show is not a regular show. I have people that listen and they want to know these. I would want to know why you're still there.
Believe it or not, it is incredibly interesting.
It is.
It is incredibly interesting. And some of the things that you never would think about, not a part of your reality, you get hit with every now and then.
Every now and
say,
then.
Okay. And then there are some things that make you think.
Okay.
And I got to resolve this issue.
And it's about the resolution that you can bring.
Definitely, because a lot of times persons are relying on you to come with that clarity.
And because of that, it's a nation policy, right?
Yeah. You hit it. We're all about protecting this jurisdiction.
My mother sent me to private school, you know. She makes sure I ask the right questions.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Nation and nationalism, how does compliance tie into national growth and trust, especially finance and governance?
I don't see how you're going to separate it out, because right now, over the past 20 years, there are two groups of persons, well, actually more than that, but two main groups of people that you continually hear about. FATF, the Financial Action Task Force, the CFATFs, which is the regional branch, and the OECD.
I hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the OECD, we realize, in a crazy way of saying it, and please, audience, forgive me, they don't really like us.
Okay.
So, but the point is, for this financial services industry to exist, we have to play their game, we have to play ball, we have to do things the right way. And so, even though, you know, that sometimes you figure, you know, and you've heard it and we all heard it, they keep moving the goalposts.
Every time you think you get closer,
yeah,
they move it.
Yeah, they keep moving it. And sometimes I disagree with that, and other times I said, okay, fine. So I'm not even going to entertain that part right now. But, so again, if we want, let me give you a scenario.
Okay.
Some persons who aren't clued in, they'll say, why is the Bahamas doing these things? Why do we have to follow these things from the OECD and the FATF? Why are we doing these things? What do we produce?
Nothing.
Where do we get all our food stuff? Where do we get our petroleum,
Export.
Our oil? Where do we get medicines?
Experts
in tourism, in tourism, where do we deal with airport and flights or whatever. Generally speaking, we all use U.S. dollars
yes.
to do everything.
Yes. From
you think about it, whatever you think about, this is what we use U.S. dollars for. If the Bahamas gets blacklisted, all of that gets more expensive.
Yes.
And sometimes, several years ago, with it, the banks conducted a de-risking exercise.
Yes, yes.
And so what happened then is that you found, in banking, we call them correspondent banking,
okay.
or correspondent banks. You may bank with a local bank, but if you're operating in foreign currency, you have to have a correspondent bank.
You must have a correspondent
bank. Must have a correspondent bank.
Correlate with your local
yeah,
bank.
So that you can do the business that you want to do internationally. Even if it's buying food, it's buying oil, if it's buying medicines, it's getting tourists into your hotel. Someone's got to be able to do your banker's got to be able to have international correspondence. When you get blacklisted, banks, correspondent banks don't want you.
At all.
Because it increases their risk and their costs go up. So what happens then is you can't buy food. Okay. Or here's something that happened a long time ago. Someone decided that for every transaction coming out of the Bahamas, you need to look deeply into that. So transactions which go second by second and done now could take a day or two. And this country sometimes has in the area thousands of transactions in foreign currency a day.
Per day, right.
And so if every one of those things is slowed down, you're going to take months to get something that would normally take days to get done. Because the scrutiny gets to be who's behind the transaction that's going in. And so you may see Joe Blow Food Store. They want to know, the correspondent bank might know who Joe Blow is and what that goes for. And what's happening is this funds coming into our bank, the proceeds of crime. And so everything slows down.
It's a domino effect.
So it's a domino. It's like everything will just fall. Mm-hmm. So if I have a local bank here, I need a Chase Manhattan bank somewhere else,
yes.
which is a correspondent bank,
yes.
to be able to do my U.S. transactions.
Exactly.
Or I can't order from Amazon. That's
no, you can't.
I can need that. I can need that. I am going to need that. Now, this is another question for you. Have you ever, Mr. Delaval, been in a situation where doing the right thing wasn't the easiest choice, but you did what you had to do in terms of a compliance issue?
I think every compliance officer has had to do something like that.
Okay.
There are times when you can be pressured to do certain things, but your integrity has to stand. Other than that, you probably won't last long in the field.
No.
No.
How do you balance being compliant and still standing up for what you believe is fair?
Well, here's the point. Compliance is not enemies of anybody in the institution.
Correct.
We work together. My role is to ensure that the money laundering laws in this country are onerous. They are stringent.
Mm-hmm.
The compliance officer is one person who has personal liability. And the compliance officer has a personal liability because the law assumes, even if you didn't know, you ought to know.
Means that you're
complicit. Or you're negligent.
Or negligent. And we don't want to be either of those things.
And the only other people in the firm that have that type of liability are the directors.
Okay.
They have individual personal liabilities. So reality. I see Foxhill. I don't necessarily want
to
go there.
No, that ain't no place for us to be. No, that's not the place for us to be.
The other thing we have something that works along with our money laundering laws, something called the POCA. We call POCA the Proceeds of Crime Act.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Proceeds of Crime Act, honestly, affects everybody. Suppose you're my girlfriend.
Okay.
And I'm a drug dealer.
Right.
And you come to me and say, Andrick, I need my hair done. And I give you money to get that hair done.
I need at least $20,000 to get my hair done, Andrick.
Well, even if it's $20,
okay.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because I'm a drug dealer, you actually become liable for money laundering crimes because the money laundering situation says any person who uses the funds or holds the funds or stores the funds of money proceeds of money laundering mm-hmm. is actually a money launderer. And they could be convicted.
So once that transfer to my hand,
you are liable.
I am liable.
And you're complicit.
I'm complicit.
Yeah.
Whether I knew or not.
Whether you knew or not.
Because possession is 9/10 of the law.
Well, the law is actually written, and the Proceeds of Crime Act is very clear on that. The other thing that happens if I buy you a car on that situation, not only that, the government can seize that car.
Wow. We didn't know all of these. Did we know these things?
We knew.
Okay.
The government actually wrote the law.
Okay. I mean, well, the average person
didn't. The average person didn't because it's one of the things that if you noticed in the last year, you notice things going on at the courts. You would see someone get charged with stealing or someone getting charged with, some type of crime like that. I didn't want to make any specific situations.
Right.
You see nowadays the government, the jurisdiction was getting hit because we weren't using the money laundering laws. I'm getting hit. The stealing is the predicate offense, and now you have they get a money laundering charge on them, and the money laundering charge is actually a significant charge. So they get hit with two charges instead of one.
Like P. Diddy.
Well, in the Bahamas.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm just trying to bring it home so we could all understand, yes. in a relative term.
And Kenny, before you move on from that, ought to have known is also something that we need to be reminded of as well. You may know that he is a drug dealer,
right?
Fine that you know, but in the event that you ought to have known. Because
right.
if he is not working, he has no legal way of getting...
Where did you get this
where
money?
Where are you getting this money from? Something that needs to be, a light bulb going off. But, where is my getting this money from?
But do you think that makes people that are in compliance people or securities commissions people, do you think that makes you always suspect of people? Because how do you separate your regular life from... Like, how do you...
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be yes. It'll be Susie, who live down the road here, right?
Right.
She got this 32-year-old son who don't work.
At all.
Okay. But Ms. Susie deposited money in the bank.
Where Ms. Susie get this money from?
And so a banking officer can say to her, Ms. Susie, where you get this money from? You retired. This come from your pension or what? This more than your pension. Where are you getting this from? Well, this is my son. When my son asked, but right now they're more sophisticated than that. So the banking officer has got to, that would set off a flag in the banking officer. And the banking officer's first thing to do is he's got a suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that suspicion, go see the compliance officer.
Okay, I have another question for you. How can leaders create a culture of compliance without making it feel like constant policing?
The truth of the matter is, with an institution, compliance, the tone from the top is what we call it. Leaders have to set the tone.
You must set the tone.
The leaders set the tone. Okay, those who are in the highest offices, they set because if they're not complying, nobody else in the firm is going to be complying. However, because the leaders are generally, if they're not directors, they report to directors. And what they're doing then is they're actually placing their directors in jeopardy. And so it's going to be in the director's best interest to get rid of that leader.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Delaval, you said that you have been in compliance for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
BACO is celebrating 25 years.
Yes. It wasn't always called compliance.
What was it called?
No, we're just bankers doing things, making sure we were following the banking laws.
Right. So would you be?
And my role at that time was fiduciary. So again, you still had to watch out. I was in trust.
You was in trust.
Mm-hmm.
So like you when you say you were in trust,
I was managing people's assets. Looking over accounts, managing people's companies, those sort of things.
Okay.
But we always had laws that we had to obey.
You had to, because mm-hmm. there was a policy and procedures
and
in 25 place.
Years ago, 26, 25 years ago, the creature called the compliance officer came into being.
Okay. And that creature has now grown into a full-grown animal.
Yes.
And hence now we have Compliance Month.
Yes.
We have a myriad of people in the working field.
Yes.
And work tends to be very different now. We don't see the women have children. Statistics says that 90% of the households belong to our single mothers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the children are home. They got to work from home. Like there are different ways in which we work. You have Generation X. You have the lunchbox. You have the Generation Z, Generation Y. Do you think younger employees see compliance in a different way than you would see it, having a respect for it for some 30 years? Do you think that, let's just say you have a younger person coming in. Mm-hmm. You've been in this business 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. You started in fiduciary trust. Mm-hmm. The wealth of knowledge that you have based on what a younger person, and not younger, just someone just coming in, doesn't have to be younger or older. Do you think that they see compliance differently?
Well, their perspective has to be different because the world that they view is different.
It's different.
The world they look at is different. Even though there's some things that at the basest remain the same, their methodologies are going to be different.
Okay. Now, Crystal, Compliance Day, y'all having cocktail hour, y'all going to party?
We will.
Y'all going to have a DJ?
We will have the Royal Bahamas Police Force Band.
Oh, you know, them fellas look good in them suits.
They look sharp.
They be clean.
And music is lit.
The music will be locked this season. I like that. How long the cocktail reception for?
The cocktail reception is from 2 to 5.
Okay, so I could go and come back and then go to the basketball game and come, because my child loves basketball game Friday.
You're not going to want to go.
I ain't going to go? No. Oh, my God.
And we just figured, you know, celebrate 25 years mm-hmm. after a day and a half of just learning, you know, just being empowered.
Yes.
That we just wanted to give something back to celebrate.
So, because that room is going to be filled with a different type of energy. Everybody in their nice tie, smelling good,
right up.
Smart. Not like some smart fellas and girls, eh?
Smart fellas and girls.
I love that for us. Now, tell me once more. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to tell me about compliance, the 2 days, and then you can have 2 minutes, and then Mr. Delaware, you can have 2 minutes, and then we are
please,
done.
Please, you've been calling me Mr. Delaware. Endrick.
Okay, Endrick. I can say Endrick. Okay.
Without the K.
Endrick. Uh-huh. Yes. Okay, go ahead for me, Crystal.
So Compliance Day, once again, the 13th and 14th.
Right.
Tickets are on sale. The registration link has been closed, but you can send an email to Baco Bahamas, and we will make sure get you your ticket once we're not sold out. Lots of speakers, panel discussions, round tables, prizes. You know, we like our things.
I like things. Prizes, we like things.
Lots of prizes. Of course, Bahama, the convention center, good food, good drinks,
okay,
learning.
Give us the email address, give us the portal if you have it, and give us the cost for members and non-members.
They can check our website, which is bicobahamas.com.
Okay.
All of the information is there.
Okay.
We have a lot of social media. Everything is live.
Okay.
And so we've been putting it out there, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, WhatsApp. And so all of the information is there for the industry, for the community to see. Four persons to come on down to get involved and to take part of this premier compliance event.
I said premier. I like that. In the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
The Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
I love that for us. Mr. Delaware. Sorry.
Endrick.
Sorry, sir.
Okay. Yes, we really would like to see all compliance officers and those who wish to be compliance officers, because we do have a cadre of students as well, mm-hmm. people who are looking to come into the area, looking at taking their certification examinations soon, because you don't walk in, you have to be certified to become a compliance officer. So, yes, we look forward to seeing you. It's going to be lit.
Edric, the children say eight. The children say eight. It's going to be eight. It's eight. It's going to be eight? How you say it? It's eight. It's eight.
Please, we're looking forward to seeing you. Come early and partake of the meal, because it's going to be a really good time.
Good. Mm-hmm. So, ladies and gents, you've heard it right here on Guardian 96.9, Kenny's Corner. We're talking about, we would have spoken about everything compliant today. We had a cadre of questions. Both Mr. Delavaux and Mrs. Turnquest would have answered those questions for us. We have to see compliance in a different way. Compliance isn't a suit and a tie stuck in a room. They are making everything agile for us here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, making it easier for us to stay within the laws and for you to just go on Amazon and purchase, because you know we like Amazon things. We have to be compliant, ladies and gents. And so Thursday and Friday at the Bahamar Convention, they will have a compliant day. They will speak about anything that and everything that happens in the industry. So we want to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to go on out. Thank you so much for listening to me and my guest today. This is another Sexy Tuesday. This is another opportunity for you to go home and snuggle up. The weather is changing. This is the Christmas season. I'm ready to put up my tree. You can hear the music, the melodious sounds of the Saxon Superstars in the background, ladies and gentlemen. This is your night to make some rhythm, make some music. Go put your leg on your special someone. Get you some popcorn and some wine. This has been Kenny's Corner.
Good evening.